Hello! Welcome to episode 7 of the reboot of the previously rebooted Brutal Gamer podcast.
All new, all different.
Whoa.
Canny podcast. There we are. The new podcast. And all, etc. We got a good show this week. We got a lot of good news. We got a lot of services to crap on.
Very excited. Yeah!
Very excited. So enough of that. I'm Eric. We got Rick.
Hey guys, I'm happy to tell everyone this podcast was recorded in 3D surround sound.
And Jason.
That is awesome. And yes.
It was recorded in IMAX.
Whoa!
In addition to all those other things.
Can we do 3D also?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Goggles? Like, can we have goggles?
I don't see why not.
All right, hang on. I got to find my goggles.
Okay, I'll get my Circle of Vision goggles in so I can smell you guys. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah.
So something that we've been going back and forth for a couple minutes before we even started the show, just because we couldn't wait to talk about it. We were very excited. The game services, the Xbox Games with Gold and PlayStation Plus for August, kind of suck. I mean, especially Games with Gold, apparently. I don't necessarily agree with it. But
stinker.
Rick and Jason, you guys are pretty unhappy with the Xbox Games with Gold offerings, which are, I can run through them real quick. Rick wrote this article, but I have it up, so I'll just go through it.
Sounds good.
We have Slime Rancher, which is releasing on Tuesday, August 1st, and it's also free starting then. It's this game about, you ranch slimes. It looks silly, but kind of fun.
I don't know. From Dragon Warrior?
No. Yep. No.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. It would have been great.
Is that a slime?
That was a slime coming in to tell us that the next game for Xbox One is Trials Fusion.
Oh.
Trials Fusion's free from August 16th to September 15th. And then we have Bayonetta for the Xbox 360 backwards compatibility from August 1st to 15th, and Red Faction Guerrilla 16th to 31st for Xbox 360.
It's Armageddon, Guerrilla.
Oh, well, Armageddon. You know.
Giraffe Edition.
No, not Gorilla, Guerrilla. There was a Red Faction Guerrilla was a game.
I know there was.
I'm just loving Giraffe Edition now.
You swing the giraffes around to destroy buildings.
Well, wasn't a secret weapon an ostrich? Wasn't there an ostrich that you swung around by the feet?
Yeah.
I think there seriously was. I think it was a secret weapon.
You're right.
Yeah.
It was a secret weapon.
That's fine. You know, that's silly. We don't need ostriches. Ostriches aren't real. I don't know. Rick, you're mad about this. Why?
Because I just don't think the value is there for the free games this month. I don't know. They just don't look interesting to me.
I'm sorry. I don't want to cut you off.
No, go ahead, man.
I agree with the value concern, but I mean, we hold on. We definitely can't talk about Slime Rancher because we don't know what that game could be. It's not released yet.
Yeah,
but Trials Fusion is pretty universally loved, I believe, and Bayonetta is a good game. So yeah. These are older, but they're quality games still. I mean, yeah, that's all I have to say. I'm fine with it.
I'll give you that, but at the same time, they're not going to be screaming to me to play to them when I download them. They're just going to take up hard drive space.
That's fair. Especially if you have played Bayonetta already, especially that's fair.
I haven't played Bayonetta. So there's one thing going for it.
Okay. So I'll tell you this right now, Rick. Bayonetta is really good. You'll like it.
Yeah.
And Bayonetta 2 was really good.
I liked Red Faction a lot too, Armageddon. I don't know why I liked this one better than Guerrilla, but I did. It's a really fun game. My problem here is that these are old games.
Right.
Like really old. And then
I totally agree with you, by the way. Okay. I'm not in disagreement about that.
And then the Xbox One offerings are not, you know, big games by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, even though Trials Fusion is a beloved game, it's also been out for a while, but it's Trials Fusion. And then Slime Rancher, you know, I mean, it's true. I totally agree with you, man. We don't know the value of it, but it's Slime Rancher.
It's not. Yeah, like, it's not. You know, it's not like a Gears of War 4 or anything like that, which wouldn't be here yet anyway. But it's not huge. Right. I totally agree.
Right. That's my thought.
I gotcha. Well, moving over to the other free games. As if we're all done here, moving over to the other free games, and shout out if we're not done here. We got, see, here's the thing. PlayStation has Just Cause 3, which I admit's a big game. Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry for the PS4. For the PS3, Super Motherlode Snakeball. And then PS Vita gets Downwell, which is cross-buy with PS4, and Level 22. Now, at least the Xbox games, or you know they're good. Mm-hmm. I don't know anything about any of these games except Just Cause 3.
Right.
And I'm not a huge fan of that series anyway.
Well, Freedom Cry, I think, was pretty well received. And I've never played that, so I'm looking forward to playing that.
I feel like I've never heard of this game.
It was kind of a spinoff.
Okay.
So. It's from Assassin's Creed 4.
Oh, okay.
Black Flag. You may not like it, Jason, because it's based around Black Flag.
Oh, so same kind of gameplay?
Yeah, I expect it to be, yeah.
Okay. Well, but, so, you know, then again, the more I see of, what is it, Skull and Crossbones? I mean, I'm actually pretty excited for that game, even though I didn't like Black Flag.
Yeah.
So, could be good. I've never heard of Super Motherlode, Snakeball, or Level 22, or Downwell, and to be honest, no one on Earth has a PS Vita, so.
I mean, I only have one PS Vita. But, and honestly, Downwell, you can, it's basically also a PS4 game for this, because you can cross-buy it and play it on your PS4.
Oh, I see that, yeah, okay.
I don't know anything about them, though, so okay. I don't know. I honestly, personally, think this month goes to Xbox.
To be fair, by the way, just so all the Vita fans out there don't think crapping all over the console, I actually do like the Vita. It's just not existent.
It just doesn't have any games.
Yep. It's got some great fighting games. Older and fighting
some
games.
RPGs. Some great that's RPGs it. As well.
But that's it.
Yeah, I totally agree.
But anyway, so you think Xbox for this month?
I do, just because we know those games are good, apparently, and Slime Ranchers looks kind of cool to me.
Okay. See, I would say PS4, just because of Just Cause and Freedom Cry.
And that's totally fair. I just don't care about those games at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fair too, I guess.
My opinion's fair. Yours is not.
Wow, I don't know.
I'm seems sorry. Like a low blow. That was rude of me.
Totally.
I apologize.
Jeez. I mean, what so is we this? Have some.
What's the up?
Rude cast.
We got this thing, and I don't care about it because it's the space, and it's not the Star Wars. It's the Star Trek Discovery.
Yes.
Why is this good, Jason?
Well, for number one, the Star Trek is vastly superior to the Star Wars.
Listen.
Yeah, you heard me.
I heard. Doesn't mean you're correct.
It does, actually. So, this is the first Star Trek TV series, sort of, since Enterprise, which was mostly a bomb, even though it's stuck around for a couple of years.
I liked Enterprise.
Yeah, I liked it at times.
Yeah,
but it didn't. I don't think grab people as well as the Next Generation era stuff that they had before that. So Discovery, interesting note. Actually, I don't have this in the article because I learned it afterwards. But Discovery was originally supposed to be an anthology series.
That's cool.
Right, taking place in all different Trek time periods. But that was not what it ended up being. So it's basically another prequel, like Enterprise. But I believe this takes place before Enterprise, even. I'm pretty sure. either before or right after.
That's cool.
So I think it's the original timeline too, which would mean it does not take place in the movie's timeline, the J.J. Abrams verse. Yeah. I'm excited about it for a couple of reasons, because it looks really cool. It looks like there's a lot of action going on, which isn't particularly Trek, to be honest. But, I mean, it does look cool in that way. The special effects look great. The Klingons are odd. And I've said that before, and I'll say it again. They're very strange. They don't look like Klingons, and I'm not really sure what they're going to do to explain that away. They don't really look like. So, we'll see. But anyway, it's going to debut on CBS on Sunday, September 24th. That will be the pilot. From there, it goes to CBS's digital distribution network, which I don't think anyone subscribes to. And it sounds like internationally they're using Netflix for distribution, so maybe it might make its way to Netflix eventually. I don't know. They haven't announced that. But
it'll probably be like the same way Better Call Saul and some of those AMC shows use Netflix for distribution. It'll probably come to there like after the season ends or
after the season's over.
Yeah, probably.
Well, so there you go. So, I mean, I have Netflix, so if that's the case, if that's going to happen, I'll just wait till then to watch it, because I really don't want to subscribe to another streaming service that I will barely use.
So. What did they offer on that? I've never even heard of that.
What, CBS?
Well, no, I've heard of CBS. CBS's digital distribution network. I've never heard of them having a service like that.
It's called All Access.
Jesus.
It's a video on demand and live streaming service. So I suppose you could stream CBS's programming on their network. You could probably stream that, and then they have the on demand stuff. But I don't even know how much it costs, but to be very honest with you, it could cost $5 a month. I still would not be interested.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
So internationally also, just so everybody knows, Bell Media's Space Channel and Crave TV will be carrying it in Canada. I don't really know what those are because I'm not Canadian, but they will have it. And Netflix pretty much everywhere else. So,
jeez, why do they hate us so much in America?
I don't know. Damn you, CBS.
Jeez, come on.
Because, you know what, they probably figure that enough people have... You know, I don't have a good reason for this.
Nobody has CBS on.
No, you're right. I'm sure they have like a couple hundred subscribers.
Diehards.
I hope people don't go and purchase this though for this subscription, because I want it to fail so that they will just put it on Netflix, or they'll figure and out a way to
do
it.
Yeah. Well, your wallet. This is, a while ago that I had heard it brought up that, Star Trek could easily be like a Marvel or a DC shared universe in films. They have they still haven't followed up with that, but here we have a big TV series that they're putting a lot of work into, apparently, at least from the trailer it looks like it. Why not just air this on network? I gotta believe it would get a huge audience.
I agree. I don't know, it's pretty crazy.
To me, it is. I mean, I'm sure, like you said, Rick, that's probably the draw for, like, they're trying to use that as the draw for All Access, but I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either. I think they're really limiting their audience by just keeping it on that one platform.
Yeah, big time.
I can't. This isn't really the place for this discussion, but we're going through such a... I'm going to do it anyway. We're going through such a tumultuous cable change right now. Mm. So many organizations like CBS are trying to get onto this streaming, this digital distribution platform. And something's got to give somewhere. That's all. Not particularly. But there it is.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you, Eric. But I'm just thinking, why not the best of both worlds, to quote a famous Star Trek episode? You could have this air on network easy and then put it on streaming
if people want to. Oh, no, I totally agree with you. But then what's the incentive to drive subscription?
Yeah, no, I get you, but I think
I know, I totally agree. I think it's stupid and I hate it. And I don't think every network doesn't need a digital distribution because you know.
And I think we're still in a zone where, you know, in fact, I know we are, where ratings are huge. And if you could pull in enormous ratings off of this show, God, why not use it? Yeah, I don't get that one.
Not either.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think of The Walking Dead? That's so huge, and that's still around because it pulls millions and millions of eyeballs every week.
There you go.
And that's the only reason that show is still getting made. It's not.
Well, wouldn't that be the only reason to make a show?
Well, I mean, of course. No, you're totally right.
Were you taking a shot at the quality of the show?
It's not a great show. I mean, I love it.
I thought you loved that show.
I do love it, and I'm not going to stop watching it, but it's not great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just like I like Sonic Adventure. It's not a great game. I love it. I still like The Walking Dead comic a ton. It's
what
fantastic.
A comparison. Yeah. The Walking Dead and Sonic Adventure.
I know. That's a fair comparison.
Totally.
Well, The Walking Dead has actual popularity. Sonic's just liked by people like me.
Poor but Sonic.
I don't draw Sonic in various names. All right, we're getting into the weeds here. we're gonna talk about
weeds and tall grasses.
I reviewed Pokemon Red.
No.
Oh. Darn.
I was going to Uncharted.
Oh, I knew that.
Uncharted.
Anyone have any thoughts on Uncharted: The Lost Legacy?
I don't even know what this is. This like a new game, like a whole new game?
So I think it is also a spinoff.
It's yeah. So it's kind of like a brand new game, Rick. It's like and it's also a spinoff. It's a smaller standalone expansion, I think, is how it's officially billed. But that just means it's a new game, and it features two of the female protagonists from the series, Chloe, who has been in the games since Uncharted 2. And I forget the other one's name because she's only in Uncharted 4.
Nadine.
Okay. And it follows them. I know that there's a huge open sandbox that you can explore for this trailer. It looks cool. In terms of size, this game is between Uncharted 1 and Uncharted 2. Is what I
heard. Pretty big.
Yeah. So if you are familiar with these games, like Uncharted 2 is absolutely gigantic. And Uncharted 1 is not small.
No.
Uncharted 1's a good sized game. So if you're an Uncharted fan, I can't imagine not being excited for this.
Yeah. I think this looks really cool. And I love the setting that they used. And I guess they're gonna have a lot of like Indian like mythology and stuff like that in there. So that's really cool because they're going towards something called the Tusk of Ganesh. So who is an Indian god. And I mean, it looks really cool. It sounds great. So I'll definitely play this at some point. I don't know if I'm going to be playing it right now, but at some point, can't imagine I wouldn't because I do love Uncharted.
No, for sure. Cool. And I think, I don't know how it is for you guys or really Jason, because I know Rick isn't a huge fan of Uncharted.
Yeah.
But just the theme of like these people going and looking for these Uncharted, these hidden cities, these, you know, these treasures that are supposed to be not real or mythological. I just think that's really neat.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely. That's what one of my favorite things about Indiana Jones. So I'm a huge indie fan. So yeah.
So I mean, I'm going to be picking this up as well, but not till I play Uncharted 4, and I haven't done that yet. So it's
you got to play that, man.
I know, I'm working on it. I'm
such a good game.
I know, I'm working on it. But
you better be.
He's on it.
Right. I am. So Rick, I think you should give these games another shot.
I don't know. Just didn't get into them.
I mean, well, that's fair. There's nothing wrong with that.
I mean, Drake, they've talked recently about bringing Drake back again, but I don't think that's going to happen. His story is over. Happen. Yeah, no,
I thought his story was over after 3.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so it's really over now because a little spoiler here. So fast forward for a minute if you don't want to hear this. But I mean, we've seen the future for Drake, and we know it's over.
Wait, why did you say that to me?
Sorry. But I did leave it somewhat ambiguous. You don't know in what way.
Mm-hmm. Knowing this series, you're going to go on an alien spaceship, and then you're going to look into this thing that lets you see the future of all humanity. It's going to be dumb.
No, Drake finds the Drake gets kidnapped by aliens, and he finds the Exo Manowar armor, and he becomes Exo Manowar.
Yeah,
it wouldn't like fit it thematically, but that would be freaking cool.
wouldn't it? no, but anyway, that's, believe me, it's over. It's over, Johnny. So. Yeah. Anyway, I don't think they'll be bringing Drake back again. So, Rick, if you do want to get a taste of Uncharted, you either got to play 1 through 4, or maybe you want to just pick this up since, you know, Drake and Sully are not a big part of this, if they're in it at all. And
I hope Sully
wait for the next one.
He's the best.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm sure they're going to keep Uncharted going, but maybe with a different main character.
Even if this series keeps going and like every game is a big narrative driven, you know, kind of like 2 and 3 were, or 4 is for all I know, but, and it focuses on a different character, as long as the theme and feel and the characters are like real stays the same. I mean, I would go for that. That'd be cool.
Uncharted 4 was one of my favorite games of last year. So I would definitely like to see the series continue, but it's got to be with a different main character. Has to
be. But Nathan Drake is just so relatable.
What with the mass murder?
Or how about his Spider-Man superhuman ability to never fall and climb on walls, basically?
Yeah, climb on like the smallest ledges.
And just never get injured.
Now, there's some stuff about the series that is completely ridiculous. It totally is. I mean, even for a fictional thing, it's just ridiculous. Within the confines of the Uncharted universe, it is ridiculous. So I can admit that.
That's fine. It wouldn't be a fun game without that, maybe. I don't know. Monster Hunter, speaking of things that are completely ridiculous, Monster Hunter World got a new trailer, and I don't know, it looks like Monster Hunter.
Not interested.
Yeah. I just started watching these videos and it just didn't do anything for me.
I don't like Monster Hunter looking like realistic, even though it's Monster Hunter. I don't want it to look even pseudo realistic. I like the cartoony look of the games on the like the 3DS and all.
Okay.
So I'm not too happy with the way this game's looking, but
not interested in that either.
There we go.
I don't know. All I can see from the main picture that we've got in this story is you're fighting some kind of like giant iguana or something like that.
A lot of the monsters are like variations of giant iguanas. Great. Also, if anybody's a
Monster Hunter fan,
yeah,
and wants to educate me on why I'm ignorant on the series, feel free to hit me up on Twitter. I don't know my handle, actually.
Well, it won't be me because I don't like this either, and so that's it.
Right. But I I've tried a bunch of times to get into this series, and I just can never do it. So.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well.
Yeah. I don't want to dwell unnecessarily, but I don't want to feel like we're moving too fast.
No, it's just, you know, there's only so much we can talk about Monster Hunter because it's just not, I mean, well, at least to us, it's not that interesting.
Yeah, the three of us don't like it, so.
Yeah.
Right.
If Keenan was here, he might be.
Something we all do like. Sims 4.
Boo.
So are you going to tell me, are you going to tell me that they couldn't figure out a way to put the Sims 4 on Switch? I mean,
that's not
because I feel like
too
this
much
is
processing
like almost,
power.
Yeah,
maybe. Yeah,
dude, The Sims 4 came out like what was it, 3 years ago?
That's what I mean.
I mean, why even bring it to consoles now?
I mean,
who cares?
And I mean,
it's The Sims 4.
Someone will buy it.
I mean, I know somebody will buy it, but
Is it coming out for retail at $60? Is that what it's going to
sell at? I believe so. That's kind of what it looked like.
That is not great.
I don't know if it's going to be $60, but it sounds to me like it's coming out at retail.
Right.
Eric, just so you know, because I don't know if you're aware, I was just talking to Rick about this, but these retro consoles are getting crapped all over, so we can talk about that. Apparently, they have really low quality.
Was that these or the other ones?
No, that was these.
Oh, well, you know what they say. I was actually looking at these, too.
So was I. Oh,
well, looks like not doing that.
Yeah.
So, for anybody who doesn't know, there are two new consoles coming out. There are many. They're kind of in the vein of the Nintendo ones that Nintendo's been making, except these are bad quality, it looks like.
That Nintendo hasn't been making?
Yeah. They made 60 units of. So, it's a classic Atari and a classic Sega Genesis. And apparently, they're not doing well in the eyes of critics.
Yeah. So. I was surprised to see reviews starting to pop up for these already, because I don't think they become available till September. But At Games has a series of Atari flashback consoles. They also have Intellivision, ColecoVision, classic stuff like that. They've been making them for a while. And I don't know, I haven't really heard anything about them one way or the other. But this year, they're pushing two new consoles. Well, actually, they have more than two coming out this year, but they're really pushing two new ones. The Atari Flashback 8 Gold, which apparently has 130 games built in.
Okay.
And a Sega Genesis that looks like a Generation 1 Sega Genesis console, much in the same way the NES Classic looks like a little NES. The difference is that this one has a cartridge slot. So although it has 80-something built-in games, which are mixed, by the way, there's some Game Gear games in there. There's some Sega Master System games, apparently. And apparently there's also some games that are just not real games. They're just like, I don't know, like Flash games, I guess, something like that we were talking about before. So definitely nobody's going to be interested in those. But you can also play your cartridge games on it, which I thought was great. I thought this was really cool. Excuse me. I thought this was really cool, but apparently the console has really bad quality. The menu is hard to navigate. The games are somewhat glitchy. The pads are wireless. They're clones of the six-button Sega Genesis pad, but apparently they're like you have to push the button once before it registers with the console. So you'd have to like push each button before. I mean, this is just stuff I've heard from reviews in the last couple of days. So I don't know how accurate it is, but I mean, it doesn't sound great. They look great, but that doesn't sound too terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Sonic Mania is coming out and I have the collector's edition pre-ordered of that. So I'm going to be getting a mini Sega Genesis statue. So I don't need this for the mini Sega Genesis.
That's true.
When is that releasing? Does anybody know?
No.
I'm going to do a quick Google search. So, I think it's in August. Because it seemed really far away. It's not. I don't know where to find this. My life's a mess. Well, anyway. We can get all. If I can bring it up when I find it, let's all talk right. about Nintendo Download, because unlike the trash of the Genesis, the classic mini things, we got some good games coming out on this week for the Nintendo Download. Yeah. Oh, there was some good stuff actually.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks pretty good.
There's Miitopia. I know that.
Well, that's not what I'm talking about.
Okay. So what are we talking about? Hey Pikmin?
Well, Hey Pikmin's, I've heard, actually, I haven't played it. I've heard things that, like, it's good, but not, like, great. Like, it's like a fun game, but not
It's not categorically great?
Correct. That's what I've heard. Okay. But it's like, fun. It's a fun Pikmin game. I've heard that. Okay. No, I'm talking about the Switch games coming out this week on the eShop.
Overcooked?
Overcooked Deluxe Edition, which Rick can attest to, is fantastic.
Fantastic.
It's a great game.
If I didn't have it on the Xbox, I'd buy it on the Switch.
Oh my gosh. I know. I'm considering picking it up because like today, this afternoon, when I go to the movies, just bring my Switch, pop it out, play some Overcooked, waiting for the movie to start, you know?
Wow.
You can't converse with the people you go to the movies with.
Or you can play Overcooked with those same people.
Or you can read those little quizzes that they show on the before the movie.
Yeah.
We also have the Namco Museum, which has been released countless times on various platforms. But yes, it's kind of neat this time because it includes Pac-Man Versus,
mm-hmm,
which anybody who is not aware was on the GameCube. It was a game, it was a collaboration between, forget the man's name, man who made Pac-Man and Miyamoto. And it's basically, it's versus Pac-Man. One player plays Pac-Man, three players play ghosts, and the ghosts got to get Pac-Man.
What?
It had a really strange and convoluted setup, though.
I'm sure it did.
It did. So it was the first game to use the Game Boy Advance Connect to the Game Boy, through the GameCube.
Okay.
And the person playing on the TV screen was Pac-Man, and three people using Game Boy Advances as their controllers controlled the ghosts.
I remember this.
So.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this.
Yeah, you couldn't play all on the same.
Okay. Yeah,
it was questionable, for sure.
It's extremely questionable.
But it's working in a similar way this time, except instead of everybody needing to own the game and like Switch, now only two people need to own the Switches and only one person needs to own a game.
Okay.
There's download play similar to what the Game Boy, the Nintendo DS had. So one person downloads a free app and then connects to the game, and then the people on that console play as the ghosts.
Okay.
So that's cool. I mean, so this collection. Oh, what's up?
I'm going to buy two of them.
There you go. Museum is a $30 download. It comes with a bunch of old Namco games. Dig Dug is on there.
Splatterhouse. Rolling Thunder.
Pac-Man. Tower. Game about the tower.
Rolling Thunder is awesome. So.
I've never played that.
It's really awesome.
Yeah,
it had one of those weird carts on the NES. Those weird black, like I think those Tengen type of cartridges. Remember those things?
Yeah, I do.
I believe it was one of those.
Excellent.
I used to love that game though. I think this is the arcade version, which is obviously graphically superior, but I love the NES version.
Also, something really cool about this, now that you bring up the arcade thing, is that if you put the Switch on its side, you can actually get the full arcade display.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really neat.
Okay, that's cool. I might have to get this.
Then we also have Ultra Hyper Ball, which I don't know anything about. Cubix Paint, which that just looks interesting indeed.
Yeah, okay.
I think interesting for it.
Hey, how about that Neo Geo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Do we have the whole Neo Geo library on the Switch yet?
Not yet.
Not yet, but it's coming.
We're on our way.
Yeah.
So, I think that's basically it for the Nintendo download, but you know, regardless of whether or not you want these things, Namco Museum finally coming here is pretty neat. Hey Pikmin is neat if you're a Pikmin fan. Overcooked is just phenomenal. So.
Can I also just add more? Nintendo, please. Virtual console.
No.
Switch.
It's never going to happen.
Because this week we got another TurboGrafx game in Air Zonk, and I haven't played that in ages, and I don't even know where my original card is, and I would play that. I would buy that. but I'm not buying it on Wii U. Come on. God. Killing me.
Whew. Man, sorry about that laughter, folks. That was just tickling my funny bone. Real good. A little good up in there.
It's torturous.
Phrasing.
What?
Yes, for me. No, my own. I'm just calling myself on my own phrasing. It's fine.
Okay.
Phrasing.
Yes. So we had some reviews this week before we move over to the comic rack. I guess I can talk about my retro review real fast, real quick. So,
do it.
I've been playing through Pokemon Red. And if you haven't played this game or you don't know what it is in 2017, I can't help you.
Then you must
if you don't
not
know.
Play video games.
Yeah, yeah, honestly. So you're probably not listening to the show if you don't know what that is. Anyway, this game's held up pretty well. It's just, you know, it's an RPG, if you didn't know that, for the Game Boy. You pick your Pokemon, you fight monsters, you're a 10-year-old, you go throughout the world, you fight crime bosses, you collect them all. It stands up pretty well because it's a turn-based game, so it doesn't rely on, you know, quick graphics or huge processing power or anything like that. It holds up fine. Presentation's pretty bad. Some of those sprites are absolutely horrible.
It looks terrible.
Yeah, it doesn't look great. Doesn't look great in 2017. But hey,
it looks really bad.
It's where it all started. Except for Pokemon Green, which had worse sprites, actually.
Oh jeez. Was that possible?
Yep. Pokemon Green released in Japan in like 1995 or something like that. And then in 1996, Pokemon Blue and Red came out in Japan. And 2 years later, it came here in 1998. Mm-hmm. So, silly stuff. So, the game series has certainly come a long way. That's for sure.
It has.
And a review I'm going to be posting this week is Splatoon 2 for the Switch, which released a week and a half ago or something. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Or actually, it was just over a week ago. It was last Friday. I'm having a lot of fun with it. You know, it's more Splatoon. So if you like Splatoon on the Wii U, you're going to like it here. But the difference is, this console's actually a joy to use. So you don't have to lug around the giant gamepad to play this game. If you're like me and you invested in that Pro controller, you can use that. You can just use the Joy-Cons. And it feels really nice to play in handheld mode, too. Even with the motion controls. Online's pretty good. I haven't had any noticeable lag or anything like that, so that bodes well for the communication system that Nintendo's overhauling with their app and everything. I haven't tried to use the app yet. I'm going to be playing Salmon Run, which is the PvE, you know, horde mode with Jason, hopefully this upcoming week or the week after. That's my last thing I want to play before I review the game, but I'm really enjoying it. It looks so nice. The ink looks great. Which, you know, that's obviously important when the game's all about inking the arena. Mm-hmm. For anybody who doesn't know, this third person, I guess it's an arena-based shooter, but not in the same way at like Quake. Like, you're in a tiny map, usually. And you go, this is Quake on the Switch!
That's really all it is.
For but, kids, for families.
It's Quake family.
You joke and you say, oh, this game's colorful, whatever, it's for kids and families. Maybe aesthetically and thematically, but if you're playing even the turf war, which is the standard, you know, unranked, cover as much ink like ground as you can, you're not, if you can be using strategies that kids, like young kids I mean, won't be thinking of and won't think about. This game's a lot deeper than it looks. There's tons of weapons, there's tons of gear that you can equip. You can equip hats, clothes, and shoes, like shirts and shoes that all have different stats. They all give you, you know, maybe they'll make your gun cost less ink to shoot, or they will make your special cost less ink, or they'll make your respawn time shorter, or they'll make opponents respawn times that you kill longer. There's just a lot of strategic depth involved, and I'm really enjoying it. So, you guys have any questions about this?
And not really. I mean, we had a lot of fun playing the demo.
Right.
So
also,
yeah.
Speaking of this demo. There's another Splatfest coming up next weekend.
Ah.
It is mayonnaise versus ketchup.
Of course.
So.
Nice.
I don't know if you guys know this, but I absolutely despise ketchup with my entire being.
What? So,
picked mayonnaise.
Wow.
Why? Why do you hate ketchup?
I'll tell that story off air.
God.
So
maybe here's the problem. You've been eating ketchup when you should be, in fact, eating catsup.
Catsup.
Also,
okay.
One thing Splatoon has from the first game. In the first game, you could put Miiverse posts up and they would appear in Splatoon 2. Or Splatoon. So Nintendo kept that functionality. You can draw in the game and then your post will appear like in Splatoon 2. So a lot of people are talking about Knack 2 in Splatoon, and I'm not really sure why. I've seen a number of people draw pictures about Knack.
Well, first, who would waste their time drawing a picture of Knack?
I mean, it's not even pictures. It's just like words saying, Knack 2, baby, here we come. Or what? Can't wait for Knack. Yeah, no, who it's totally...
Wait a minute. Who, there are people excited for Knack 2?
And they all play Splatoon.
Right.
Yes. Plugging a waypoint. Right before we started the podcast, I was on Facebook scrolling, and I saw they put up a story, and it was on their Facebook about how people just keep talking about Knack 2 and Splatoon 2.
What?
Super strange. It's super weird.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's strange. But you know what they say. Knack 2 is going to be good. Maybe.
No.
You know, we didn't, you know, I joined you guys after the PS4 launch, but I was super excited for Knack when the PS4 was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were you guys?
I actually was looking, I don't know if super excited, but I was looking forward to it. I thought it looked kind of cool.
And then I got it and played it.
Oh.
And?
Oh.
I never got
it. Yep. It wasn't great. It's not great.
You should do a, you should do like a looking back on that.
Yeah, you should.
Just to pour some water over everybody.
I can do that. I could replay it and then.
Are you looking forward to Knack 2? Then you've forgotten how terrible Knack was.
Knack was terrible. It was just overlong, and there were a lot of kind of poor mechanical and design choices. But I don't think the game was horrible, like everyone else says.
Well, anyway. I will never play it, so.
I think I've done enough talking. Jason, do you want to take us through the comic rack?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Actually, before we dig into that, I'm just going to talk very quickly about Bill and Ted's most triumphant return.
Excellent.
So this is a graphic novel. It is from, let's see, I'm trying to look for the publisher in here. Mac wrote up the review of it, and he liked it a lot. If you're a Bill and Ted fan, you're probably going to like it. It has a foreword from Mr. Bill S. Preston Esquire himself, Alex Winter. And by the way, fun fact, Alex Winter actually liked our review of it on Twitter. So,
wow, that's awesome.
Oh, that's pretty cool. You go.
Isn't that cool? So thank you, Alex. So this book follows the second movie, Bogus Journey. Involves a bad guy time traveler who goes back in time to defeat the Wild Stallions in the Battle of the Bands and basically take over the future. And of course, he's got a really garbage future where stuff like pizza and tacos are illegal.
Yeah. You can arrest it if you do the air guitar.
Totally. And you can't say the word dude.
What a dark place.
Exactly. So it sounds really fun. And I think if you're a Bill and Ted fan, you're probably going to like it. I can't see why you wouldn't. So, so definitely check this one out. I think it is out right now. It is called Bill and Ted's
Most Triumphant.
Yeah. Yeah. They got the robot Bill and Ted.
Oh, man. So, I gotta check.
Fun to be insane. Yeah, it sounds crazy. And hey, it's got Alex Winter attached to it in some way. So it's got some authenticity to it too. So definitely.
I probably would have watched this if they just made this the third movie.
You know, I would have too. I keep hearing that they're talking about a third movie, but I don't know what the status is of that.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's ever going to happen. You know,
probably not.
I wouldn't imagine, but I keep hearing that they're talking about it. So who knows?
Mm.
Okay. Comic rack time. So we had some continuing San Diego Comic-Con coverage this week, and we actually will have more of it next week, because I didn't get to a lot of stuff that we have some info on, and we got some great shots of some different. So we're going to post up some more preview stuff. But this week we did cover Sideshow Toys, which had DC and Marvel stuff, in particular at Sideshow, because they carry Hot Toys, which is an Asian manufacturer who does tons and tons of movie 12-inch figures. So it, basically, if you've seen a cool figure from like a sci-fi or a fantasy or an action movie, if mm-hmm. you've seen it online in the last couple of years, it's probably Hot Toys. And they have a series of Justice League figures, which will be coming out, carried again by Sideshow here in the U.S., which look pretty terrific. There's a new version of Batman with the tactical suit. There's Flash, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Superman. They look really great. You can check those out in the story, which is up on BG, and it's got a picture of Batman as the title, but it is not from the movie. This is a new version of. And this is actually from Sideshow. This is not from Hot, but it is a new version of the Batsuit, which has a more classic feel to it, with just the smaller Bat logo. They've added some like little detailing to the suit, which looks pretty cool. And then the facial sculpt is just really terrific. I mean, this is like when you picture Batman from the comics. I mean, it's what I picture anyway. This is pretty much it. So he's really cool looking, and. That was announced at Comic-Con, so neat stuff there. There's some cool statues also. There's a Man-Bat. It's not Man-Bat. It's supposed to be like a quote-unquote nightmare version of Batman, but it's basically Man-Bat. But it's a really, really cool-looking statue. I mean, it is.
Yeah, totally
it's,
is.
it's a really cool-looking statue, though. Yeah. And then there's a really neat Batman legendary scale figure, which is friggin' awesome looking. I'm sure is going to be a fortune because these things are not cheap, but that is super cool looking. And then there is, Eric, a Swamp Thing, which wow. looks super cool. And again, I assume is going to cost a small fortune, but he's really cool looking. So that's the DC stuff. Then they had a bunch of Marvel stuff as well. Getting it cute. So no we have.
Marvel?
Go ahead.
Oh, I just said no one cares about Marvel.
Oh, come on. there's movie stuff over here as well from Hot Toys. We've got Thor Ragnarok stuff. There's a really cool looking Hela. From Thor Ragnarok. This is all 12-inch figures as well. Then there's Valkyrie, there's Loki, who doesn't look anything like Loki except for his headpiece and his face, obviously, which is a really nice sculpt of Tom Hiddleston. But the outfit in Thor Ragnarok, I mean, Loki does not look like Loki, so I don't know. There's two different versions of Thor, both of which look pretty cool, one from the gladiatorial arena and one as regular Thor. Then there is a Gladiator Hulk, which looks really cool and is probably gigantic. There's Yondu from Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Drax and Gamora from Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So some cool stuff from Hot Toys on the Marvel side too. In terms of Sideshow's Marvel stuff, they had some really neat statues, especially one of Magneto, which looks great. And then a prototype of Wolverine, which also looks pretty cool. Yeah, not a ton of new stuff, it looks like, from Sideshow. Some decent stuff of what was there, but but not a ton of it. And I really wanted to see their new versions of Ghost Rider and stuff like that, because they've got some really cool 12-inch figures coming out the rest of this year. Daredevil, some neat stuff. And they didn't send us anything on that. So that would have been cool to see. But, I mean, you can check out Sideshow.com for more on that, and also to preview. Season 5, changing gears, of Ninja Turtles is hitting Nickelodeon right now. I think episode 2 is hitting today while we're taping this. But it is called Tales of the TMNT. It is a very different season from the 4 that have come previous to this. It is also the final season of the show before it changes to something different now. And what that is, we don't really know.
That's weird.
Yeah. They're scrapping it. They're starting over. And they're doing from what I've heard, it's a basic straight origin. But mm-hmm. I guess the whole series is going to be like the early days of the Ninja Turtles. So you might not see a lot of the characters, like a lot of the villains, a lot of the periphery characters that you're probably used to seeing in Ninja Turtles stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll see. But this year, cool. Yeah. But this year we do get an arc with Usagi Yojimbo, which is pretty classic turtle-y stuff. And that's going on right now. Either you guys familiar with Usagi Yojimbo?
Oh yeah.
Okay, cool.
Love the guy. Cool. Best friend.
Oh really? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Very good.
No, so, I just know him from like the old school
comics.
No, not the comics, but the cartoon.
Oh, okay.
And then I read the comics a little bit here and there, but I was more of the cartoon
guy.
Okay. Yeah.
I was too. The Archie comics in particular I liked, though, because those had it was like all the stuff from the cartoon show. Whereas I don't know if you ever read the Mirage, like the original ones. They were really good, but at the time they weren't really for me.
Yeah, no, I didn't read any of those.
But Usagi, I think, is crossed over into all of the above. And so he's going to be in this as well. You can check that out right now. I missed a ton of these episodes, though. And I would love them to bring out this show on Blu-ray. And I don't believe it's out. I think you can actually pick up a season anywhere. I think you have to, like, there's stuff online, but that's it, which is kind of weird when you think about it. But anyway, hopefully there'll be a set released after the show comes to close. Also this week, we get back to Little Marvel in DC. We saw Mezco's offerings. So if you don't know, Mezco has something called the 112 collection. We've done a bunch of coverage on it in the past. We've done some reviews. They are 1/12 scale. So they're 6-inch tall action figures. But this isn't like your typical Marvel Legends stuff. These are like super detailed figures, lots of accessories, incredible posability, fabric costumes that don't look weird, which is unusual for figures of that scale, but they don't. They look really cool. And they've got a bunch of new additions. I personally like the comic book centric stuff, but they've got some movie stuff that they were talking about at Comic, including Gladiator Hulk, Thor from Ragnarok, Spider-Man from Homecoming. There's Daredevil from the Netflix series. There's Aquaman from Justice League. They were not showing off Wonder Woman from the Wonder Woman movie, but I know that's coming too. Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of the movie-based figures. Again, I like the comic stuff, but these are neat. And if you do like the Marvel or DC movies, then you're probably going to want to check these out because they're pretty cool. They're not cheap, but they're cool. The comic stuff, however, was awesome. Now, a lot of this stuff we've seen before, although they did debut Catwoman and Batman Beyond at Comic-Con. Both look great. They also had Red Skull, Darkseid, Deadpool, Doctor Strange, did a great version of Iron Man that's not coming out until next year, but he looks fantastic. There's an early, like a Batman Beginsy, you know, like year one kind of Batman, that I'm not too crazy about. I don't really like the sculpt, but at least there's a comic book Batman coming. The ones up until now have been from BVS. Have you seen those?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay. And this one, I'm not crazy about this one just because they made the ears on the suit so tall. That it just kind of looks odd. There's a comic book Superman coming too, but he looks a little off, like maybe a little bit too skinny. So hopefully they change that before release. And then there was Wolverine shown. Now, if you go to Brutal Gamer and you look at this story, you're going to see Wolverine wearing biker shorts. it doesn't look great. They change all of the costumes a little bit for these 112 figures, but the biker shorts do not look great, and they know they don't look great. They got a lot of feedback from fans, and they actually have changed it since. They've made them much shorter. They still look like little shorts instead of the, you know, superhero underwear that everybody's used to seeing. But they're definitely shorter than the picture that you see on Brutal Gamer, because I don't know whether they brought the old mock-up to Comic-Con or what, but I'm positive that they changed the shorts on this guy, and it's a little bit shorter now, so don't freak out when you see it.
Yeah, I'm looking at him now. They're just,
right?
Pretty crazy. And you're right. But Superman looks really disproportioned funny.
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got like a big old chest, and then he's got this skinny like little waist.
Yeah, what? I mean, the waist is like really thin. I don't know.
But then you go look at Batman, and he's done really well.
Yep.
That's a really cool Batman, actually. I don't mind the ears. I kind of...
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I gotta say, the more I look at it, the more I like it.
But Wolverine, dude, that's just not...
Yeah. I also have to say, I really like the Bruce Wayne alternate head that they're including with Batman. That looks really cool. Yeah,
it looks really cool.
But yeah, that...
is Punk Joker, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I spoke about this briefly in the story. I don't know why we needed another Joker, because there's a great Joker figure that's already a part of the line, but
really,
yeah, he's really cool classic Joker, so I guess I'm not sure why we needed Punk Joker, but we got Punk Joker. Yeah. Okay, looks kind of like the Trickster, to be honest. The Ghostbusters are still coming. Ash is still coming as a part of this line, but they are, I think, into next year. Pretty sure. Let me just check. Yeah, 2018. So still a wait on those, but they look really great. Old Man Logan, Harley Quinn from Suicide Squad, all that stuff is still on the way. So that was it for Mezco. Again, check out the story on BG for a lot of great shots that we have of those. And that Iron Man just... I'm not even the hugest Iron Man fan in the world, but I got to tell you, it looks phenomenal. So I can't wait for that one. That's next year old.
Yeah, that's cool.
Right. We'll have more stuff this week, but for now, that'll do it for the Comic Rack.
Cool. Do you want to keep us rolling real quick in this next thing that you administered?
You mean the game of the month?
Yes.
Okay, well, we finally got around to doing the game of the month. And I don't know, I guess unsurprisingly, it's Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy. This is our game of the month for June 2017. If you don't know what Crash Bandicoot, the Insane Trilogy is, it is the first three games, the original three, PS1, redone, completely redone, and packaged all together. Basically kind of making a new experience, because the way they play a little bit different. I mean, it's basically what you remember, but I think they're a little bit tougher. And I reviewed this game. I gave it a 90, and it just won overwhelmingly in our voting for game of the month in June. I mean, it was like a crushing tidal wave of Bandicoots. So Definitely check that one out. That is exclusive to the PS4 right now. I've heard rumors that it may make its way to the Xbox One, but we shall see. Other than that, ARMS got some votes for the Nintendo Switch. Not that many. It was a distant second, but it did get some votes. And then the Wipeout Omega Collection, which is very similar to the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, in that it just collects a couple of Wipeout games. This is not Wipeout like the TV show where people fall in water and get hit with big rubbery things. This is Wipeout as in the racing game series, which is basically kind of like a riff on F-Zero. So if you dig that, you're probably going to dig this. This got, actually, it only kind of got one vote, but pretty cool in and of itself. I don't know, you guys have any good memories of Wipeout? Anybody play Wipeout?
I played Wipeout or the PS1 originally.
Yeah, me too.
Since I was a child, though.
Me too.
Are you saying it's childish?
No, I haven't played it since I was a child.
Okay. What'd you think?
I don't remember. I was a child.
Rick, what'd you think? You like it?
It's fun. It's hard, but it's fun. It's a good
race. It is hard, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a good race game.
The graphics look terrific. It's a new set. So.
Yeah, I bet. They were always good at like having really good graphics.
Yeah. It was Psygnosis, wasn't it?
I don't
developer?
Remember.
That owl.
Yeah, that's right.
But anyway, ARMS, Wipeout, Crash Bandicoot. Those are our games of the month for June.
I keep wanting to pick up Crash Bandicoot, but I can't do it.
Why?
Because I have too much other stuff to play.
Oh, okay. I thought something was emotionally keeping you from picking it up.
No. I don't want to play. That's all.
It's our game of the year also.
Whoa.
Hold on.
Spoiler alert.
But so yeah.
So are we going to talk Avengers Forever?
Nah, we don't have to do that.
Avengers Forever.
I don't care about that.
Just
get out there and read it. It's a great comic. Go pick it up right now.
Wait, now because I have to clarify this. Which Avengers Forever are we talking about here?
Yeah, I think I'm thinking of the one that was written by Mark Miller, Millar.
Okay.
Is that the right one? It's Millar. Way back in the day, and King the Conqueror, like...
Yes!
Is that the one? And there's, like, you know, sad caps in it. Rick
it's like
Jones
the worst team of Avengers ever.
Exactly! Domestic violence, Hank Pym.
Yeah! There's two versions of Hank Pym in it.
Yes, that's why it's so good.
Oh my god.
And then they just throw in Janet in there just for the heck of it.
Yeah, she's supposed to be like the level head, like to lead the team or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good book. I would recommend it.
Okay.
That's all.
It's Avengers Forever.
Forever.
So can concludes our discussion on our like weekly 99. Theme.
That was a fast one.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Well, I think that's just about it for this week's. Really, got that yawn.
Wait. What are you guys playing?
Oh,
wow.
I forgot to put that. Sorry.
I'm not going first.
Eric, what are you playing?
Been playing Splatoon and finished Bioshock Infinite the other day.
Oh,
playing XCOM. That's it.
The original?
Nice.
XCOM. No, the one on the one for the 360.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You mean you're losing XCOM?
Yeah. I mean, I had a whole squad wipe this morning, so. Yeah.
Did you turn them all into cyborgs for punishment?
I'm working on it. Well, no, those guys are all dead.
Oh, no, they're all dead.
They're dead.
So, yeah, how about you, Jason and Rick?
Well, I am playing Crash Bandicoot still. And what was I playing last night? I was playing. Oh, God, what the hell is the name? Paper Jam. Super what? Mario.
Oh, how was that?
It's good.
Good.
It's good. It's good. It's fun. It's if you like, you know, Paper Mario, you'll like it.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to say there's something else I'm playing, but I can't quite remember.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah, I do have to, however, quickly mention that speaker hats are now a thing.
What is that?
Speaker hats. Are you familiar with the speaker hats?
No. I can't say that I am.
Well, they're from our friends at Atari. Yes, and they have teamed up with NECA, of all companies, for a little Blade Runner licensing. And they are baseball caps with speakers and microphones built in. So
what?
This means that you can take phone calls on your hat and Jesus. Also pump up the jams, as they say.
I'm sure Eric will get a couple.
So I just happened to see that while I was scrolling BG right now, and I had to comment on it because it's
nice.
So
nice.
Silly.
Very nice.
That's all I got.
And I'm just playing some Horizon Zero Dawn.
Nice.
Yes. It's amazing. It might be my game of the year.
As but good as everybody says.
Shadow of Mordor. Yeah, it's still really good. Shadow of War, and then maybe this. But then there's also Zelda. Mm-hmm. This might be the greatest video game year of all time.
It's quite a year. It really is.
It is.
And Crash Bandicoot. So, of course, better than all of them.
If you must. No. I think the game of the year should be something original. So,
Crash Bandicoot.
Not Crash.
So, there it is. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to our fun little show.
Got
the yawns.
Got to get them in somewhere.
That's right. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Eric, joined by Rick and Jason.
Yes.
Adios, muchachos.
We'll catch y'all on the other side.
On the flip side.
Yeah.
On the other side of the week.
I'll be wearing a speaker hat.
Oh, goodbye.
Listen to our podcast on a speaker hat.
Now playing on a speaker hat near you.